Amen. Good morning, everybody. Well, wasn't it a blessing to be here last night? I tell you, I would drive here every year just to be here on Friday night to sing "And Can It Be?" Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would. If I didn't get anything else, I'd drive here just to hear, I don't know how many, 800, 1,000 people, how many was here? But just that, can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? Oh, glory. It was good. I want to help you this morning. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to talk to you about God's grace. You know, everything that's been said about God's grace to this point has been true. And I don't know, there's so much more that can be said, but I don't know, humanly speaking, if we could say any more, but there's so much more. I mean, when you get to that point where you need God's grace and you wonder, it's still going to be there. Still going to be there. I want to talk to you this morning, just a few minutes, about being available for God. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if you say, "Lord, I'll be available for whatever you want me to do," you're going to need God's grace. So take your Bibles this morning for just a few minutes, and let's look at Genesis chapter 22. One of my favorite passages of Scripture in all the Bible. Grace not mentioned in this chapter. Oh, but boy, is God's grace demonstrated. In Genesis chapter 22, in verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." I say to you this morning, folks, that God is good. I mean, would you agree with me this morning? Can you say that today, that God is good? Folks, we like to say it at our church, when I say God is good, our folks automatically will say all the time. Folks, there's never a time when God is not good. I'm reminded in James chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. He's good, folks. He's good all the time. God's been good to this old preacher. I remember going off to Bible college. I was 36 years old. I had 4 children when I went to school. I had 6 when I got out. I've had 1 since then. God's been good to me. I remember back in days of school and we were there, and boy, there were some hard times financially. I was driving an old 1972 Chevy Malibu station wagon. An elderly lady that gave it to me was going blind, and this car was on its last leg. She just wanted to be a blessing, and she gave me her car, and I took that thing and went off to Bible college. And I rode it hard while I was there, and it was dying. And I remember one day, we had no money. I mean, we were eating peanut butter, and I like peanut butter. Listen, God is good. I like peanut butter. I mean, that's all I had, but He gave me what I liked. But the timing gear was going out in this thing. I remember driving home from work one day, and I was going to the mailbox, and school bills were due, and I said, "Lord, this car's dying. You know I need it." I said, "No, there's no food in the cupboard, and we could use some groceries." I said, "That'd be good if there was $1,000 in the mail today." I drove that clunker to the mailbox. You probably know where I'm going, don't you? I opened the mailbox and started down my driveway, and I'm opening mail. And there was a piece of mail from the state penitentiary. I thought, "Oh, they found me." I began to open that mail and look at it, and I read a letter from a guy who used to serve the Lord with years ago, and he'd gotten in trouble, and he ended up in prison. He's dying of cancer. And he said, "Roland," he said, "I just want to be a blessing to somebody before I die." There was a check for $1,000. Brother, I hadn't asked for it not 10 seconds earlier, and God already had the answer. God was good. He's been good to me. He's given me children that love the Lord and want to serve the Lord. Somebody this week talked about dating and courtship and things like that. I've got 2 sons that are married now. And I want to tell you, they never held hands. They never kissed. They never touched each other to their wedding day. I did their wedding. I was able to stand before them and say, for the very first time, you can hold your wife's hand. Come to the end of the service, and I will say, for the very first time, you can kiss your wife. That was good. Both of my children. My daughter, my next, is engaged to be married to a young man that's going to be a church planner, and they've never touched. It's wonderful. My next daughter, this year, she's going to go off to college, and she wants to be a missionary somewhere in the world. God's been good to me. I want to say to you folks, every good gift comes from God. But you know what, folks? It ain't always. Sometimes we think of good gifts. We think about the $1,000 checks that come in the mail and just the blessings. But sometimes God's blessings come wrapped up in strange packages. You mark it down. Peter says, 1 Peter in chapter 4 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you." Listen, folks, in our life, trials are going to come and tribulations will come. You're going to go through some hard times this year. I'll tell you, I've been thinking about preaching on grace, and every time I've come into this building this week, I had no idea when the preacher would ask me to preach, but I've been burdened, folks. Somebody's going to go through something this year. Maybe you're already going through it. But a hard time, and I don't know what it is. It might be a cancer in your family. It might be the death of a loved one. I buried my mom just last month. I don't know what it might be. It might be financial. You might lose your job this year. I remember coming to Western New York from North Carolina. Took the grace of God to do that, trust me. I'm telling you, I don't want to be anywhere else on the face of the earth right now, though. We had some Canadians and some Yankees. They spent the night in my house Thursday night. We come back here Friday morning. They was eating grits Friday morning before we left. God is good. But we came here to serve the Lord, to reach out, to try to win Jewish people in the Western New York area. God's been good. We'd not been here long, about a year, and I began to be very sick, very tired in the ministry. I'm going to make a really long story, ordeal, really short and compacted. I ended up at a doctor one day, very sick. I mean, deathly ill. I had a temperature that morning that I went of 105. And the doctor said, "We've diagnosed you with leukemia." He said, "And if you don't do something immediately, you've got about 4 days to live." How'd you like to have that said to you today? Well, I want to say to you this morning, folks, that the day I sat across the desk from that doctor and he said, "You've got 4 days to live," God was just as good that day as He was the day He gave me $1,000. And you just need to mark it down. You just need to just plant your feet and say, "Look, God is good, and He's good all the time." You walk out those doors today, you don't know what life's going to hold, but I promise you God's going to be good to you. You can trust in Him. He's going to take you through some trials in your life. Beloved, think it not strange. It's not a strange thing when we go through difficult times. You're going to go through some things. God had a special task for Abraham. He put him through a trial. Did Abraham? You know, and Abraham didn't know what God just spoke, and Abraham just said, "Here I am. Lord, what do you want me to do?" And maybe if he knew, he wouldn't have said, "Lord, here I am." But when he answered God, God says, "I want you to take your son, your only son, the one that you love." You ever get that in that passage of Scripture? It's his son. It's his only son. It's the one that he loves, the most dearest thing to his heart. He says, "I want you to take it out to Mount Moriah, offer it there for a burnt offering." Abraham takes off the next day and he's on his way to Mount Moriah. He's going to offer his son the very thing that he loves the most. You think, folks, that took grace? It did. It took a special grace. God had a place that He wanted Abraham to be. Listen, what I'm trying to say to you this morning, Christian, those of you that know Christ as your Savior, God's got a place for you today. God's got a place for you young people that only you can go to because it's your special place. What God wants for your life. And it's just not for the young people today. Listen, older folks, I was 42, 43 when God, the man said, you got leukemia, you're going to die. But you see, God had a special place for me, and that was my place, and you couldn't fill that place that day. But I tell you, we sent that doctor out of that room. We said, Doc, let us talk about this for a few minutes. He went away. My wife and I sat there in his office, and we prayed, and we said, Lord, we don't know what you're doing in your life, but I know that I'm in the will of God, and it's okay. Folks, the next 8 months of my life are almost a blur. But God was good. There were days that I laid there in the hospital. Listen, I'm a preacher, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I seen things because they were pumping me. They were trying stuff on me. They called it the Rollins treatments because they'd never tried it before. I was the first one. They just trying to find something that would work. I seen cats walk across the shelf in my room. I saw gnats flying in my room. And I was on all kind of stuff. And I remember laying there one day and I said, this is what I said. I said, Lord, I said, you've forsaken me. I'm the first one. You've forgotten me. I've come here to Western New York to serve you. I wanted to win your chosen people to the Lord. And I'm laying here, and Lord, I don't know where you're at today. I can't see you. I can't feel you. Talked about last night. Boy, wasn't that good last night. It's good to come to church sometime and feel something. If I laid there and I'm telling you, I couldn't feel nothing, Brother Eddie. I didn't know where God was at. God began to minister to my soul. I begin to think about Job as I lay there. Job chapter 23, and I'm not going to quote it word for word, but Job said, look, I look behind me, I don't know where the Lord is. I look to the front, I can't perceive Him, to the left, to the right, where He works. I don't know where He's at. And God begins to speak to Job. He says, but Job, you may not know where I'm at, but look it, I know where you're at. Job 23, 8 through 10. You look it up and read it. I said, folks, He knows where you're at. I don't know what God wants for you today, but He's got a special place for you to be, and He's got a special grace just for your life. God's been bestowing grace. You know, we like to say sometimes that this is the age of grace. Listen, I believe every age has been an age of grace. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And His grace is still just as real today as it's ever been. He's been dumping His grace out on Christians all through the age, and there's just as much of it today as it's ever been. But by God's grace, will you say today, Lord, yes, I'll do what You want me to do. I don't know what it is, but Lord, whatever it is, I want to do it. Because see, folks, there's a place that only You can be. There are places around the world that are represented here today that I can't go to. You're the only one that can go. God's called you there. You need to be there. And when you get there, listen, God's grace will be there for you. I think of a few people through Scripture, and I'm almost done. Quit. Sit down. I think about Jacob. You know, Jacob, early in his life, his name means supplanter, trickster. But toward the end of his life, God changes his name to Israel, Prince with God. And God spoke to him one day in his later years. He said, Jacob, Israel. And he says, here I am, Lord. They wanted him to leave his homeland and go down into Egypt. You think that was a difficult thing? Jacob was an old man. He's about ready to die, but God wants him to get up and go to some... Hey, listen, I don't care how old you are here today. God's got a place for you. Would you say, Lord, here am I? Think about Moses at the burning bush. You know, that day Moses was out there and he was walking by. He was herding his father-in-law's sheep, and he saw this bush that burned but was not consumed. And he heard a voice out of it. Said, Moses! You know, he could have just kept walking. But he turned aside to see the bush that was burned but wasn't consumed. I think maybe if Moses would have knew what God wanted him to do, maybe he'd have just kept walking. But he said, Lord, here I am. And you know, if Moses would have kept walking, we wouldn't even know his name today. I think about Samuel. Somebody talked about Samuel this week, and true, you start naming the great men of the Bible, you won't go very many fingers, and you've got to mention Samuel. Samuel, as a young boy, lay in bed at the temple at Eli's place one day, and God began to speak to him. The Bible says he didn't even know the Lord yet. Spoke three times. Eli sent him back and said, if you hear it again, it's the Lord. The Lord spoke again. He said, here am I, Lord. And God gave him a hard thing to do. He had to go out and tell Eli that God was through with his family. That was a hard thing for Samuel to have to get up and do the next morning. God gave him grace. I think about Isaiah. You know, you look at the first five chapters of Isaiah, and boy, Isaiah just takes the nation of Israel and just drags them across the coals. He comes to chapter 6. He sees the Lord high and lifted up. He says, woe is me, I'm undone. Lord, what would you have me to do? Here am I, Lord, send me. I want you to go to a hard and stiff-necked people. Well, Lord, how long shall I go till the city's being be desolate, till they're not inhabited anymore? You just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. God's grace was good. Think about Ananias in the New Testament. Ananias one day is just minding his own business, and the God came and spoke to him one day and said, Ananias, and what do you think he said? Lord, say it with me. Here am I. I want you to go down to Saul of Tarsus. Oh, what? Wait a minute, Lord. Saul of Tarsus, we've heard about this fellow before. He kills Christians. He stood at the feet and watched them martyr Stephen, the first martyr of the church. And Lord, surely you've made a mistake. No, he's a chosen vessel. I want you to go down to him. Boy, Ananias went down and helped Saul of Tarsus, and we know him as Paul the Apostle today. But somebody had to say, Lord, here am I. Do what you want me to do. Listen, I don't know how God's going to use you in your life, but He oftentimes is going to use your availability to demonstrate His grace in your life, to do great things, to bring glory to His name. I look back at the things that I've been through since they diagnosed me with leukemia, told me I had 4 days to live. Brother, that was almost 8 years ago now. God's been good. But see, folks, God's allowed me to go to some places that you couldn't go to. I visited a man at Roswell one day, and he's dying with cancer. He'd been on his second bone marrow transplant, wasn't working. And I'd got to know this fella. Tim was his name. And I walked in, and after had been away for a little bit, and walked back to see Tim one day, and he looked at me, he said, Roland, he said, what's next? And I knew what he meant. Doctors had told him, that's it. We can't help you anymore. You're going to die. And I had my little New Testament with me. I opened that. Well, no, I didn't have my New Testament. I'm sorry. I had my Bible with me, my whole Bible. And I opened it up, and he had some kind of Methodist or Presbyterian background. I don't remember what it was, but I started in Genesis and started preaching unto him Jesus. Went through the Bible and got to the end. Asked him, wouldn't he like to trust Christ as his Savior? He said, man, I never heard a deal like that before. He laid there that day and trusted Christ as his Savior. Folks, I honestly don't have time, but I could literally spend a long time here today talking about people just like Tim Elman, Tim Elman died about 2 weeks later, and they asked me to preach his funeral. I said, Tim, before he died, I told him I'd preach his funeral, but I'm going to tell him about Jesus. Well, they packed out the funeral home that day. The chapel there was full. The hall was full. There were people standing on the outside of the building. I preached Jesus that day. I told those people just exactly what Tim wanted me to tell you that he had done. That day his wife got saved. Two of his children got saved. About four of his family members got saved. You see, folks, God's got a place for it. Why did he send me through what he did? Maybe because Tim Elman needed to know the Lord. Was it worth it? Listen, folks, I don't know if I'd volunteer to go through it again. But I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. God is good. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins.